Philippians chapter number 3. Beginning in, I'll read verse 19 for our text this morning. We're going to look at a couple of some other verses in this chapter, and of course in many others in the scripture today. But verse 19, the Bible says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Lord, today we thank you for the opportunity we have that we can come and worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the great privilege we have of being able to come before your throne of grace and find help in our hour of need. We thank you that we can meet you in the morning, and we can meet each other in the morning because you've provided that place and that opportunity for all of us to spend eternity with you. We ask now, Lord, that as we look into your word, that you might speak to each of our hearts, you might lead us, you might guide us, and you might direct us, that the Holy Spirit might have free reign in this service today. And for all that's said and all that's done, we'll praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Paul here is talking about some people he describes as enemies of the cross of Christ. And he says something about them this morning that I want you to look at very carefully. He said, their end, whose end is destruction. Now, he gives you the characteristics of these people that he's speaking of here. He says their God is their belly. He didn't say it was in their belly, but he said their God is their belly. That is, their God is whatever satisfies the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said they glory in their shame. They glory in that they know is wrong. And then he said they mind earthly things. Let me give you a couple of facts real quickly today to understand something that Paul is saying here and that we need to understand good today. Fact number one, there is pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in sin. Now, I'm not saying you ought to go out and sin, but I'm telling you today that there is pleasure in sin. Paul, as he wrote the Hebrew Christians, and as he gives a great treatise on faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, he said in verse number 25, as he writes about Moses, he says this about Moses. He said he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see today, there is pleasure in sin. The sin today is the desire of the flesh. Our flesh, our Adamic nature that we receive from our Father Adam this morning has a desire to commit sin. It has a desire to satisfy those lusts that dwell within each of us today. Many years ago, Hank Williams Jr. had a country song that said, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why do you live out the songs that you wrote? He said, well, if I get drunk or if I get stoned and sing all night long, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition. Well, you know, in reality, that's exactly what he was doing. Now, he was referring to something that the Bible's not referring to. But this morning, I want you to understand when people are doing these things, they're carrying on a family tradition that began in the Garden of Eden today. It's the Adamic nature that dwells within each of us. It's a fleshly desire to do those things. We're trying to satisfy. We're trying this morning to make our flesh satisfy. We're trying to do that today. And that's what sin really is. And that's what Paul is saying. There is pleasure in sin today. You see, our Adamic nature really desires, that's what it wants to feed off of, is sin. Brother Peter writing in his epistle, in the first epistle of Peter, and now let me get there real quickly. I'm getting there. Just give me just a second. As he writes in 1 Peter chapter number 3, and listen to what Peter says there in that chapter. Very, very plain that Paul, that he makes this morning. I'm sorry, chapter 4. And in verse number 2, he said that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. But then he said, for the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries today. You see, our Adamic nature, our flesh, has a desire to be satisfied. And sin is presented to that Adamic nature to satisfy the lust that dwell within all of us this morning. Man was talking to his girlfriend, and he said, you know, I was just reading that women spend 10 times more on cosmetics and other things to make them look better than they do on books and education. And he said, I wonder why. And she said, well, honey, it's real simple. He said, well, what's real simple about it? She said, well, most men are stupid, but very few are blind. And you see, today that's that Adamic nature taking over. That's what we want to do today. We want to satisfy our Adamic nature. The lust of the flesh dwells within us. Peter said that in times past of our life made us suffice us that we have walked in all of these things. Paul wrote the same thing in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And we need to understand today when we look around our world and we see all of these things going on, and sometimes we wonder, why in the world do people do those things? It's because they're carrying on that family tradition. They're satisfying that lust that dwell within that flesh today. And this morning, we need to understand that there is pleasure in sin. It pleasures the flesh. But it doesn't end there. You see, there's another fact that we need to understand today. The pleasures of sin is only for a season. That's what Paul said. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, it has a time when the pleasure is gone. Paul said in our text here in Philippians, whose end is destruction. You see, the end of sin today is destruction. Paul said the wages of sin is death. James wrote that lust, when conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, Satan today is the author of sin. And we find that Satan comes to all of humanity, and Satan says, I want to make a deal with you. I want to make a deal today, and let me make a deal today, and I'll give you immediate pleasure. I want to give you immediate pleasure. I want to do something that'll do something for you right now. See, that's usually where we're at today, isn't it? We want instant gratification. We want everything to be instant. Well, I'm telling you, I sometimes get to thinking how world has so changed in the years that I've been alive, and how today we're so instant. We got to have everything right now. Isn't it amazing? And I'm not that old. I'm getting there, but I'm not quite that old yet. And, you know, I began to think the other day, I remember when about all the roads around here were gravel. I remember when you wanted to go to Memphis, boy, that was a long trip. You want to go to Tupelo, that took all day. But now we want everything instantly. We want it right now. That's what Satan says. Hey, let me give you instant gratification. I want to make a deal with you. I'll satisfy that lust that dwells within you. And so we look around today and we see a world that's filled with immorality. We see a world today that is immoral in nearly every aspect of life. Why is that? Because that's the lust of the flesh. That's desiring that would satisfy for a brief period of time this flesh. And Satan said, hey, let me satisfy that instant and give you instant gratification for your flesh today. And so we look around and we see all this immorality going on around us today. We'll say a little bit more about that in a moment, but we see all of this going on around us and we say, what in the world is going on? Satan is making a deal with people and saying, let me give you instant gratification for the lust of your flesh this morning. And he said, hey, let me give you something else. I'll satisfy the lust today of the eyes. You see, we look around and we see things and we want things. We have a desire to have. And Satan said, let me give you instant gratification for that. A lot of reasons can be blamed of course, on the economy that we are seeing today, but a great deal of it can simply be blamed on the lust of the eyes. Because people said, hey, I want a bigger house. I want to have a bigger home. I want to have more cars. I want to have this, and I want to have that. And so somehow or other, all this moves in, and what happens? Then we find it all goes away. Satan is saying, hey, let me satisfy that. Let me give you something to satisfy instantly your lust of the eyes. Then he said, hey, let me do something else for you. Let me kind of glorify yourself today. Let me give you the pride of life. You see, we all want to be something. You ever thought about that? People are desiring to be glorified in their own eyes. They want people today to say, look at that individual. Look what they've achieved. Everybody's looking today for self-glorification. What good does it do in some ways? But we're achieving that. And so Satan says, hey, let me trade you something real quickly. Let me satisfy that for a brief period of time. In other words, he said this morning, if it feels good, do it. If it looks good, grab it. And if it sounds good, go for it. That's what Satan is saying this morning, you see. But he never turns around and tells you the end of the thing when it says the destiny of all of this is destruction. You see, Satan today does not want to help you. He wants to destroy you. The Bible describes him as our adversary, as that's opposing us and is against us, and he's against everybody today. And he's opposing this morning, and he wants to destroy the body and the soul and the spirit. He wants to ruin your beauty, ruin your life, and destroy your happiness and your character and your reputation. See, his desire today is to draw people away from God. Because not only is he our adversary today, but today he is the adversary of God. He is the enemy of God. And never think your enemy is going to do something good for you today. He is the enemy of God, the adversary, and he wants to draw people away from God to follow him today. You see, sin today has crumbled empires and homes and churches. The Bible warns against the terrible consequences of sin. Paul said today that the end is destruction. There's some scripture over in the book of Proverbs that I'd like to share with you real quickly. In Proverbs chapter 23, listen to what the scriptures teach us today, because we see so many things going on in our world today, and sometimes you begin to wonder, do people not understand what the Bible says? Listen to what it said in Proverbs chapter number 23. I'll get there in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 31 and 32. It said, look not upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, even when it move itself aright. Why? Why does Paul say, or why does Solomon say this? Solomon was a wise man. Ask God for wisdom. He said, because at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. You see, here he began to talk about the addiction to alcohol and to drugs. And he gives a warning to all today. You see, we have a lot of people today that want to promote the use of alcohol. And don't worry, it's coming to Monroe County pretty soon. There'll be somebody wanting to promote it, wanting to make a countywide thing of it. And, you know, there are things always going on, you know, well, you know, we need the tax revenue. It'll bring in more jobs. And, you know, everybody needs to have a little social drink. And you're a backwoods person if you don't, and you're backwards if you don't think about all of that today. And they ever tell you today about the babies without food and the wives without husbands and the drunk drivers that kill people on the road today. Driving, you see a twisted heap of steel, and you find today that they had to have a drink. They had to be high. They had to get up on something today. Our jails and prisons today are filled with basically drunks and addicts. Talked to a policeman not long ago, and I said, can you tell me of all the crimes you investigate, of all the people you arrest and put into your jail, how many are drug or alcohol related? He said, I could probably say 100%, but he said, I'm going to tell you at least 90. And he said, it's probably greater than that. Of every crime I investigate, of every person I incarcerate in a jail, we can trace it back to alcohol or drugs. And today we're living in a society when we want to promote that kind of thing. Isn't it amazing today when we see that? Here it says that it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. And that's exactly what it does at the end, at the last. Oh, everything may be going rosy and good for a little while. Everything's wonderful there for a period of time. And oh, you know. But suddenly, all of this comes collapsing down this morning. One of the things I always hear is, well, you know, we want to get people to come in and build factories and get a lot of good jobs. They want alcohol. They want to be able to consume alcohol. And I got to thinking about that one. You know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Now, you think about it. Now, if I owned a factory and I wanted to build a plant, why would I want to hire a bunch of drunks and drug addicts? Now, you think about that. That sounds a little bit dumb to me. I think I'd want to hire somebody that was sober, that would show up for work, and when they got there and they left, then they didn't steal everything I had. I think the first thing I'd want to know is how many churches you got in that county. I'd a lot rather employ people that love God, that love the Lord, than I had people that wasn't going to show up for work, going to steal everything I had, and probably wasn't even going to work very much when they was here. I think sometimes we need to stand for what's right and just say, quit being politically correct and say, you're stupid. Why would you want to do that? But that's one of the things we hear so often, isn't it? I thought back, I read several years ago about a man had a very large farm. I don't know what they call them over in Europe. He was over in Europe, and we call them plantations here. But he had a very large farming operation. And one day some missionaries came and began to hold meetings, and they were holding on the ground. And somebody asked him one day, he said, "Why are you allowing them to do that?" He said, "Man," he said, "when these missionaries moved in and began to preach and people began to come to Christ," he said, "they work better. They don't steal what I got." He said, "It's changed their lives." He said, "Why wouldn't I want them?" Now you think about that. Why today? And then we turn around and we see, and people are saying, "Well, why are we having all of these troubles today? Why are we filling our jails? Why are we doing all of this?" Because we've promoted it down through the years. And we've said, "This is what we've got to have. This is what we want." And now it's biting like a serpent and stinging like an adder, isn't it? At the last, their end is destruction. It's because we wanted to satisfy for a brief period of time that fleshly lust that dwells within all of us today. You see all the problems surrounding it today, and you'll understand why. Solomon also wrote something about immorality. In Proverbs chapter 5, listen to what he says. Verse 3 says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell." We live in an age of immorality. Once again, this is what we promoted the past several years. Why? We wanted to satisfy the flesh. We wanted to get that instant gratification and pleasure. We didn't want to have responsibility of marriage. We didn't want to have the responsibility of raising children. We just wanted to do what we wanted to do when we wanted to do that. We wanted to engage in immoral activity. And it's went so far today. Romans 1 will describe it if you want to read that when you get home. But it's so rampant. I read an article in the paper, I believe it was Thursday. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday. Written by a secular writer, not a Christian writer, but it was talking about single parent homes, and single women raising children alone. And one of the amazing statistics that I read was, and I knew it was bad, but I never really thought how bad it was, that I believe it was 75% of the children that's born in the United States of America to women under the age of 30 are to unmarried women. That's a large percent. And you think about that. And it said that children who grow up in a two-parent household where there's a mother and a father, 80% of them go on to become productive citizens. They don't drop out of school. They don't go to jail. They don't do all of these things. And 80% of them become productive citizens. Once again, I thought, now, how stupid are we? We want to go around and say, "Well, how can we keep children from dropping out of school? Tell their mom and daddy to get married." Huh? You say, "We can't do that." Well, somebody needs to say it sometime. We need to get back to what the Bible says today. You see, it says here that immorality, it starts out looking good, and boy, it's smooth as oil. But the end, it's like wormwood. It's bitter. And we're reaping the benefits of the immorality in this country. We're reaping the benefits of that this morning, and we're looking around and seeing these things happen, and people are scratching their head wondering what in the world to do. We've brought it on ourselves, folks. You see, we are reaping the disease. We're filling welfare rolls full of people, and people are saying, "How in the world can we afford to all of these things?" Isn't it amazing? Now I'm 66 years old. I get a government check every month. I got Medicare. But I worked a long time to get there. And one of the things that amazes me is that I'm the fellow that they want to kick off the roll so they can put some illegitimate in here or some illegal immigrant. And folks are saying, hey, we can't afford you. Hey, we need to get back to what the Bible teaches us today. We're reaping the benefits of all of this. At the last, it's ruining our nation. It's destroying this country, folks. May not be politically correct, but we need to understand that immorality has run rampant. And disease and welfare and health care has grown out of control for that very reason today. And I'll give you one more, and I'm going to quit this morning. I can give you a lot more, but I'm not. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 11, Jeremiah says something that, that's what he said. As a partridge setteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, at his end shall be a fool. Success at any cost. Isn't that what we're living in today? We want to have success at any cost this morning. No matter what it takes, we want to be on top. I read the other day that in the Southeastern Conference football programs, and I can't remember the exact number, but I think it was 80% of all the football players said they smoked marijuana. Somebody said, why they allow them on the team? So they can win. And that's just part of the, that's a society that we live. It doesn't matter what it costs or what takes place, just get us to the top. Glenn Campbell said, I'm going to be like a rhinestone cowboy riding on, out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. I'm going to be where the lights are shining on me. But he said, you know, there'll be a lot of compromising on the roads to my horizon. But I'm going to be like a rhinestone cowboy. That's the mentality of our world today. But Jeremiah said, you know, at the end you're going to wind up as a fool today. You're going to wind up as a fool. At the end, whose end is destruction. People who are enemies of the cross of Christ. And people today, we're looking about a society that's enemies of the cross of Christ, and the Bible says their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in the shame, and they mind earthly things. But the end is destruction. But you know, the same apostle wrote, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad this morning that there's an antidote for this destruction. I'm glad there's a cure for that. And that cure today is Jesus Christ. That cure today is to allow the Lord to come into your life. That cure today is to preach, is to turn your life and surrender it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then your end is not destruction. Your end is eternal life. And as the choir sang this morning, you can sing, I'll meet you in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought as they sang that song, I guess the last couple of weeks I've been all about my baby girl a lot. But I thought, thank God I'll meet her in the morning. And I hope I'll meet all of you in the morning. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right, let's stand together. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you might take this very simple message and use it now for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name.